Luke chapter 19, if you would please. Luke chapter 19. Interesting, at least the last couple of songs blended with the theme this morning. Are you a faithful servant? Luke chapter 19. Let's begin in verse 11. Luke 19, 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, there's a very similar parable to this in the book of Matthew, but there's a couple of distinctions between these. This is using the pounds. It was a it's a British measure of money. Matthew uses a talent, which is a Jewish measure of money. Here they're given different portions. In Matthew, they're given the same. Matthew's emphasis is to the Jews. Luke's emphasis is to Gentiles. So there's a reason, one reason for the distinctions there. But then some other things, and we won't get into that anymore today, but pay attention when you read your Bible, and pay attention to differences. Because this book is written with a purpose. Words have a purpose in this book and have meaning. So he gives these, each one, he delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy till I come. Stay busy. Do something. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidst not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Now notice, it's only the third that is condemned. Even though the first two gave varying degrees or had varying degrees of multiplication, they weren't condemned for what they did. This one was. Verse 25, and they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Or maybe verse 24, I don't think I read that. He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound give it to them that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given. And from that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which thou would not, I should reign over them, bring them hither, and slay them before me. Now, as you look through the New Testament, you see that believers are represented in a number of different ways. The Lord has different things that he compares us to. And as I mentioned, you know, I don't believe these terms are random. I don't believe the likenesses that God uses for us are casually chosen. I believe they're chosen with this specific purpose. God is deliberate and exact when he speaks. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4-5 says, every word of God is pure. Every word. It's not just the general concepts. It's the actual individual words in our Bible that are pure and have meaning and significance. And unfortunately, in the world we live in today, there's a lot of people that don't have that approach to the Bible. They don't think this is pure. They think this is actually subject to our opinion or interpretation. I don't believe that. I believe what I'm holding in my hand, this book, this one right here, I believe this is God's pure word. I don't question it. I don't correct it. I believe it. I trust it. And that's what we should do. The Bible is not to be subject to my mind. My mind is to be subject to this book. And that's the stand we take in this church. That this is the guide for us. This is God's word. And so God chose these words specifically. God likens us to a son. I'm his child. Thank God for that. I'm a sheep. That's not necessarily the most flattering comparison, but it's accurate. I'm a soldier, and I'm a servant. Each of these illustrates a specific aspect of our relationship with God. God uses these things to help us to understand our relationship to him. Now, we are servants. Servant is defined as one who attends another, performing required duties, subject to his commands. You know, that's a concept that seems to be disappearing in our country today. I mean, you go into a place of business, and if you can get the person's attention away from their cell phone long enough to wait on you, you might be able to get something. But it's not about the customer anymore. It's about me. You know? People aren't servants. Don't have the understanding of a servant. And when God calls us a servant, he has a purpose in doing so. The role of a servant is the one we as followers of Jesus Christ should strive to have in our lives. You know, sometimes people look at the pastor and say, oh, he's the leader of the church. He's this, he's that. But you know what? Number one, I'm a servant. I am called to serve this church. You're not my servants. I am to be your servant. And I don't take that lightly, and I don't forget that. But we're all servants of Jesus Christ. So there's three things I wanted to call your attention to this morning in regard to a servant. The first thing is this: a servant must obey. Servants are to be submissive to the will of those who they serve. When serving another, what I want is not important. If you're an employee, you are a servant. And how many of you, when you go to work in the morning, does the employer say, what would you like to do today? No, it's here. You need this, this, and this done. And here's how much time you got to do it. It's not up to me. It's up to the employer what I do. And a lot of times, I've found what I'm asked to do is what the boss doesn't want to do himself. Especially work on our farm, you find that quite a bit, you know. When you gotta get into the grain bin when it's 100 degrees outside and clean out the moldy old grain there, you're doing it because the boss doesn't want to get in there. It's not pleasant. But that's my responsibility. That's a servant. There was one farmer that I worked for when we lived in Kansas. His name was Glenn Colberly. He was an older guy. His wife came to our church, was a member of our church. He brought her. She had MS, was in a wheelchair. Sometimes he'd sit out in the van in the parking lot. Sometimes he'd come in and sleep in church. But he was a good guy, wasn't saved. Witnessed to him a number of times and never got saved. But I did work for him one winter. And he was a pretty hard taskmaster. You know, not unreasonable, but I mean, he had some expectations, and you better do that. And I did what he told me to do. If he wanted me to help work cattle in the morning when they got a new load in, I'd work cattle, processing cattle, give them their shots and everything, branding and so forth. If we had to clean pens, I cleaned pens. If I had to build fence, I built fence. If I got in a tractor and farmed all day, I did what he wanted me to do. But you know, one day, Glenn came to me and he says, you know, it was in the about mid-afternoon, he says, why don't you go over and visit with Ada for a while? On the clock. He's the boss. I'm her pastor, and I felt a little bit uncomfortable about it. You know, I'm supposed to be working. Well, that's what he wanted me to do. It's not my place to argue with him. I'm to do the will of my master. And that's the same with Jesus Christ. I'm to do the will of my master. I don't have a right to change anything in this Bible. I'm to just present what God has recorded here. I'm to do his will. But not only to submissive to his will, I'm to be submissive to his ways. You know, I worked with a lot of different farmers when we passed out in Kansas, and they didn't always do things the same way. They're kind of an independent folk. And some guys, when you did this job, you did it this way. Another guy, when you did it this, you did it this way. And it wasn't my place to tell him how the job was to be done. My place was to do the job the way he wanted the job done. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Watch this. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." You ever thought, well, if I was God, I wouldn't have done that. You're not God. And our thoughts are not his thoughts. Neither are my way, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God's got a perspective that's far beyond anything we can even begin to approach to. God is so much greater, he knows everything. He sees the beginning and the end, and everything in between. Yeah, we're stuck right here. We can look back, but you can't see that direction. But God does. And that's just one way. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and his ways are higher than my ways. One more verse, Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. Verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." So his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, his ways are higher than my ways, and his way is perfect. Boy, I wish my way was perfect. I've gotten involved in some projects. In fact, the day that I had my teeth removed, I decided to do a quick job of changing out the bathroom faucet. said, no big deal. Someone's still a little upset with me over that deal. It didn't, just to make it a short, a long story short, it didn't go well. But God's way is perfect. There's no hidden surprises. There's no mess ups. It's perfect. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, I don't think, usually we don't, but God knows. So don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look at the next verse. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We have 5 children. 3 of the 5 were born in Kansas. One was born in Rochester, New York, Elizabeth. But the first three were, you know, we pretty well had a handle on things. Things went pretty well. Some stories to tell, but things went pretty well. But number 4 came along. And Eileen had been to the doctor. This is Ben. And she came back about a week or so before she was to give birth with the announcement that the doctor thought it was going to have to be a C-section because he was crossways. That was prophetic in a sense. He had been crossways a lot of times in his life. But when I heard that news, neither one of us were real pleased with that prospect. And I began to pray, Lord, just straighten him out, you know, get him turned in there right so everything can go fine. We can do what we're used to, this natural birthing, instead of having a C-section. And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And then she went in for her C-section. Now, that wasn't my way. That wasn't her way. That's not what we wanted. And I was pretty vocal with God about what I thought about this whole situation. But as we were in there and she's going through the process and cutting her open and everything, they removed him from her and unwound the umbilical cord from his neck. In fact, immediately there was a special doctor had been brought into the hospital, the 22-bed hospital where this took place, that was brought in from Hayes to do the actual surgery, but our doctor was there attending as well. And as soon as they removed Ben and cut the umbilical cord, he was over there and they were just really focusing on him. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And the other doctor's taking care of her and getting her back together again and everything. But I'm wondering what's going on. And later we found out, the doctor says, I was tense. Because of the cord being wrapped around his neck. And had it not been a C-section, it probably would have killed him. You see, God's ways are not my ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. And a lot of things in our lives happen just like that. We've got an idea about how it ought to be and how we would like for it to be. God says, wait a minute. I see things you don't see. I've got a purpose in this. And it doesn't always become as clear as that situation for us was why God did something. But like it said here in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the 48 years that I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've seen a lot of times where God says, overruled me and realized, thank you, Lord, because you kept me from something, or you had a purpose in it. We need to be submissive not only to his will, but to his ways. What does God want? What's God's purpose in this thing? I've got things I'm praying about right now. Some things I wish God had done something sooner than this. But I'm learning to wait on him. Wait on his timing. Wait on his way of answering that prayer. A servant must obey. But the second thing is this. A servant needs to serve. You say, well, that makes sense. Yeah. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, at this chapter, everything is almost complete. Well, it basically is complete at this point. I mean, the rapture has taken place. The seven-year tribulation has taken place. The Antichrist has risen to power and then been destroyed. The thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ is over at this point. At the end of that, Satan has one last little hoorah, and God does away with him. And he's bound forever in outer darkness, lake of fire. And this world has passed away at this point in Revelation chapter 22. And the new heaven and the new earth has been created, where we are going to spend eternity. And look at verse 1 of Revelation 22, and it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So it's everything. There's no more wars. There's no more death. There's no more tears. It's all been finished at this point. And now it's just eternity with our God. And look what he says in verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it. And note the last phrase, and his servants shall serve him. Do you realize that's the one thing that God's looking for? I mean, think about the history of man. God created Adam and Eve, put them in that garden, that perfect place. There was one limitation, there was one restriction, there was one commandment that they were to follow. Only one. Don't eat the fruit of one particular tree. You can eat anything else you want. You can do anything else that you want. Just don't eat the fruit on that tree there. And his servants shall serve him. They chose their way over God's. They didn't serve him. And that's been the history of mankind from there until this point in Revelation chapter 22. Do you know what God wants? He wants me to serve him. To take my will, my desires, my plans, my schemes, and set it all aside. And just say, as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Serve him. Simple as that. Look back at Revelation 7 for a second. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? This, of course, is in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. And he said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth in the throne shall dwell among them. His servants serve him. That's what God wants. That's the one thing that God wants of us. And the thing is, we have an opportunity to do that now. To do what pleases and honors our God. To serve him. Just take my life and submit it to him and let him accomplish through me that which he desires. Just serve him. To be attentive, tending, waiting. God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to use my life to bring glory and honor to your name? How can I be used to touch somebody else for you today, God? And Jesus Christ led by example. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. So again, see, I'm not above you. If anything, I'm below you as your servant, your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You think about that. God became a man for the purpose of walking among us to serve us. As he hung on that cross, having suffered the shame and the pain and the torture of what he led up to that, and then finally hanging there for those 3 hours on that cross. That's his service to us. To give us an eternity with him. Came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Look at John chapter 13. John 13 and verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye not what I have done to you? And this is where he came to them and he says, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter says, oh, no, no, not me. And he said, no, Peter, you need this. And after he did it, you call me Master, Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, so ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We're to serve. We're to serve one another. And sometimes I think we lose sight of that, folks. We get upset with somebody, we gossip about them, we grinch to other people about how bad they are and everything. That's all right. We're to be servants one to another. I'm not above you. You're not above me. And neither of you are above anybody else. He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. To be a servant. To speak kindly to each other. To be an encouragement, a help. Not tearing each other down. That's not the role of a servant. We're to fulfill this role of a servant. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But, grab hold of those buts in the scripture. Here's who he was. But made himself of no reputation. He could have come into this world in any way that he wanted. He could have been born into the palace of the greatest king on the earth at any time. But he chose to be born into the family of a poor couple who weren't even officially a couple yet. To be born in a manger. Not a comfortable birthing room. Among the animals. Made himself of no reputation. And then as he lived, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He could have come as an angel. But he chose to come as a man. We are a little lower than the angels, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 8. God made us lower than the angels. They're a higher being than us. And God became one of us. Made a little lower than the angels. In the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man. So that wasn't the end of his humbling. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Probably one of the most cruel forms of execution that man ever dreamed. He submitted himself to that. He served. Are you serving? We need to be conscious and sensitive to this role that God desires of us, and to be servants. A servant must serve. And thirdly this, a servant must give an account. As we read there in Luke chapter 19, the master gave them each a pound. You know, only mentions three of those and not the other seven. Only three are mentioned. The one he gave a pound, the guy multiplied it 10 times. Well done, thou good servant. The one got a pound and multiplied it 5 times. Well done. It's the guy that took what he was given and did nothing with it that was condemned. And he says, take from him that hath the pound and give it to him that hath the 10 pounds. The guy who had actually done something with what he'd been given, he got even more. They were giving account. And one day we're all going to stand before God to give an account to him of the lives which he lived on this earth. We're going to have to account to him for how we've used the life that God has given us for our master's benefit. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Servants. Now, obviously, Paul is writing to those who are in the service of somebody else here. But as I think I've hopefully shown to you that we all are to be servants. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. You know, not just when the boss is looking. Of course, in this case, the boss is always looking. Nothing is out of his sight. But he says, not as with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Then notice what he says. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So when I'm serving somebody else, when I'm working for somebody else, or in any way I'm ministering to somebody else, I'm not doing it unto them. I'm to be doing it as unto God, the Lord. But then he says this, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. God's promised rewards. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become His child. You're a part of His family. You're grafted in. You're born again, and you can't be unborn. But you could lose your inheritance. You don't lose your place at the table, but you lose your stake in the inheritance. God will reward you for a faithful servant. He says, even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you shall not lose your reward. Even the smallest things God takes note of, recognizes and rewards us for. But we can lose that by not being that servant that we'd ought to be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? This is not a temple. This is simply the building that we assemble in. And we could do it under a tent. We can do it out in the open. We could do it in a garage like we started 22 years ago. This is the temple. This is the dwelling place of God. My body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. He lives here. Which you have of God, and you're not your own. I serve a master. I don't belong to me. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. So I'm to use it all to bring glory and honor to Him. But there's going to be a day of reckoning. God's going to call us to give an account to Him of the things that we've done in the body, whether good or evil. And everyone's going to receive for what he has done. Are you His servant? What kind of servant are you this morning? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us to be the servants that you desire for us to be. To, when we stand before you, that we would hear from your lips, well done, thou good servant. Not depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God, that we might hear that praise from your lips. Help us, Lord, to evaluate each of our lives this morning. Not in the light of what we think we ought to do, but in the light of what your word shows us we should be doing. God, we're to be lights in this dark world. We're not to hide that light under a bushel, but to let it shine forth. We're to be epistles, read and known of all men, The people would see us and be drawn to you as a result. Help us, O God, to reflect you in our lives. Help us to be those faithful servants. And God, if there should be anyone here this morning that has never trusted you, I pray that they understand their need of you and how you have fulfilled that need, and that all they have to do is receive from you, ask of you, and you will forgive their sins and make them your child for eternity. God, work in the hearts as you see the need here this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 393 in your hymn books, please. 393. As we sing, the altar's open. If you'd like to come, spend some time in prayer before the Lord, you come as we sing. 393, I wish I had given him more. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him come this morning wanting to join the church. You've already joined, right, Micah? You're just there for moral support. Okay. Amen. We know that she is baptized and has trusted Christ as Savior and baptized. So all in favor of receiving Marielle into our membership, let it known by a hearty amen.
Amen.
Opposed, same side. Okay. And welcome. Pray for you guys to be a blessing to us as we are to you as well. Be sure to come and offer them the right hand of fellowship as we leave this morning. And Ben, would you pray for us, please?